Well, my clock shows 5:30, so call to order the Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Kootenai Fire District. Present is Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Zace.
And Chief Rude is also present. We are conducting an experiment. We are trying to record this via Zoom simultaneous with our more traditional method of recording. If it works out and we get a good copy, it will be posted to the website.
Chairman Pisano, sorry to interrupt. This has got a red light, not a green light. Is that?
You probably need a battery. Tap that face and see it. Oh, it's okay. Just probably a battery warning then.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah, just that if it works, it will give us going forward a way to potentially involve more people in attendance at the meetings if they can log into Zoom simultaneously with this. So with that being said, I have not been informed that anybody else is recording. We typically begin with public comment. I'm going to actually reverse the order of that with the next item. And the first item is going to be election of a chair for the coming year.
Motion.
I just want to, it may come as a surprise, but I'd like to forward my name as for discussion for
that?
The chairman. I want to forward my name as for consideration for us to discuss in the chairman position. I'm not making a motion.
But you're offering your name in nomination.
I am, for a couple of reasons. I think it's important that we as boards continue to try to, as three of us, make sure that we are as involved as we can possibly be, to be as aware as we can possibly be about the mechanics of the meetings and our responsibility to the public. We've operated now, I think you've been 5 years?
Four. Yeah.
So, and well done, by the way. So this is not because anything other than it feels to me like it would be a good idea for us, at least me, to learn more about how this operates. And I think it's, take a little bit of a cue from the water department. They sort of have a little round robin going. It seems to work well. So that's why I was thinking about it. I also think that, as we look back on the last 3 years, at least of my first term, the level of involvement in here, I just think there's more voices that can be heard, the better. The level of acrimony has, I think, abated a bit in some quarters, but not others. And so that's, I think it's a fresh ideas and minds is where I was coming from. So.
Well, it would take. It requires a motion, I believe, and a second. So I would like you to put that into the form of a motion.
I move to submit my name as Adam Zace as chairman for the upcoming year of the Board of Fire Commissioners.
And I will second that. And I would like to place my name in nomination. Then move my name also be placed in nomination.
And I'll second that.
Thank you. So I understand the points that you've raised. I think that I share most of those positions. I do believe that in my status now as retired, I have more time to see to the extra duties of the background work that goes into
agreed
running the meetings, and but
I agree. I'm not completely retired. I work I'm billing about half time now. It's not lost on me how much work that you do put in. So I thought about this carefully. It said, could I do this? I could. It's But it is a lot of work. I acknowledge how much work you put in. You meet biweekly, it seems, with the chief, as an example.
Right. Format for it, I suppose, is that we act on the motions by vote. So the first motion was for votes for Adam for chairmanship for the coming year.
Commissioner Zace votes aye.
Okay. Commissioner Pisano votes nay.
And Commissioner Connolly votes nay.
The second motion is my name in candidacy, Commissioner Pisano as chairman for the coming year, and I will cast a vote for myself.
I will vote yay or nay. I mean, not nay, but yay for Commissioner Pisano.
And I vote yay.
So I will hold the office for one additional year. Thank you both for your votes. And while we are at it, we need to nominate somebody for policy advisory for the coming year as well.
Can we have a little discussion first?
Sure.
I would like to continue in that role because of the idea of continuance. You know, it was. I thought this past year was. It was a pretty vigorous set of conversations. It was enjoyable, and I think the result, the output, was commendable. So I'll do it again, if you all agree.
Well, I've appreciated the work that you've done with the committee. I think it was valuable, and I heartily endorse you to continue, unless Kevin wants to fight you for it.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Adam's done a nice job there and should continue on.
Very good. Okay.
It's
now,
not a dry cough.
Where told me? What are you doing?
Next order of business will be public comment. Accept that, and we will hold another call for public comment at the end of the meeting. Next item is the review. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't see you.
Got to move fast around here, Carol. No, we hear you, and Chief has a bunch of ideas that weren't in the public record, but we will keep you informed about this. This is going to be an archive, as opposed to this not being broadcast, but the hope is that with some additional equipment, we can make it happen.
Something.
Thank you. To both of those points, I would certainly endorse, in the case of the first point, we would really love to be able to simulcast this video and audio. It would make everything a lot easier and hopefully encourage more interest and participation, or at least interest and observation. To the second point about transparency, I really feel like we have been trying to make discussion and information available. The last year's recommendation of the Policy Advisory Committee has led us to today include bringing a capital plan document forward that we can work on and that will be posted in the minutes. And also wanted that to be available on the website so anybody can look at it on an ongoing basis. We now have the situation where we've informed the Civic Association on numerous occasions that anytime there is anything of issue that you would like a member of either this commission or the chief or a deputy chief to attend a meeting, particularly of your executive board, if you have questions or things, we are ready and available. In lieu of any other public comment, we will go to review and approval of previous meeting minutes. We have three meeting minutes in front of us. The first is May 12th, and I reviewed all these. I have no problem with any of them, but let's start with May 12th. Have you both had a chance to review it?
Yes, Chairman Pisano, I have, and I also think they fairly reflect exactly what happened at the meeting.
Kevin?
Yes, Commissioner Conley, I have reviewed all the minutes in question and have seen no issues with any of those minutes.
Good. Then I would vote that we accept the minutes as drafted for all three meetings.
Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
And Commissioner Zais.
Very good. I do have a concern about, and want to get on the record tonight, a dangling piece of business that came up in one of these previous meetings that got resolved without us needing to go to a special meeting, but that left it not being entered into the public record. And so help me remember to do that, because that comes up in terms of our mobile reporting and recording. And with that, I turn it over to you, Chief, for your report.
For the month of June, we had 65 total responses. One of them was a structure fire that was a mutual aid to Calm Fire. Turned out to be I believe that was an overheated compressor, so wasn't much of a fire, but it does show up as a structure fire on the report. 41 medical calls, of which three were marine-related. One was a drifting kayak search investigation requested by the Coast Guard. Second one was a missing kayaker with a floating kayak, which turned into a good intent call. The first one was also good intent, and one water rescue recovery in Mashpee Wakely for the town of Mashpee. One hazardous condition, which I believe was a gas investigation, and 22 service good intent calls or false alarm calls.
When you say gas, Chief, you mean natural gas, or?
I believe that one was an odor of natural gas, yeah. Nothing substantial, no uneventful. Administration, PPE were a good supply. You've probably been reading about or seeing in the news that PPE, personal protective equipment, is again becoming scarce in the United States, but we have a good supply moving forward. COVID-19 update. We still have no new positives in Kootenai since April 10th, was the last day we had a positive. We had looked into antibody testing, and we had actually contacted the company that was going to come do it mobile, but Commissioner, Prudential Chairperson Parks looked into that for us and found that the the test they were employing wasn't the gold standard of tests and left a little bit of error, and we chose to pass on that. Since that point in time, it seems as though the antibody testing is doesn't have a whole lot of use, where there's the possibility that antibodies don't mean you're immune and or a very limited immunity, so I don't see a whole lot of value of that at this point in time. So that's where we are with that. Response-wise, we still have responses with our staff to limit exposure to all COVID symptoms and non-COVID symptoms, so we're going forward with that, and we'll evaluate that on a monthly basis to see where we are community, or for a community spread, and how we can best keep our staff safe and provide the best level of service for our community. We've been having distributing masks and sanitizer every Friday from 10 to 12. Initially, it started out with a very large response. It's slowly dwindled to, you know, a couple every Friday. So with your permission, I think what we'll probably do is we'll go to a on request. So all of our service at the station now are curbside. So you pull into the parking lot, there's a sign saying call this number. You call the station and you request what you want. You can get a blood pressure in your car, permits of your car, or we can bring masks and sanitizer to your car for you. So
where can we post that to advertise it as available? Can we get that on the regular website sometime?
We can put that on the regular website. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll cross post it in both places.
At the same time, could we put a paper notice out in the signboard out there? Just reminding people.
What about the currents as well? Currents?
Oh, yeah.
I'll send a note to the currents, see if they can put that on there too. So, and we're also going to have one of the printing companies print us up a more professional looking sign that's not a Sharpie on a blackboard. So it'll say, you know, this is how we do business for the foreseeable future with our curbside service. So it keeps everybody safer. So we'll make sure it goes on the signboard out front, the currents, and Facebook, and our website. We could jump to our website. So Firefighter Emerson has been working hard on IT support for us. He's become our IT guy. He's gone out and gotten training. He's figured a lot of stuff out on his own, worked very hard on, mostly on duty, but a little bit off duty. He's working on a new format for our website. He's the one that's been posting every time we have a meeting. He posts the video online. He posts the agenda online. He's doing that for us and for the Prudential. So
Excellent. He's
been maintaining our website and doing a very good job at it, amongst many other things. He's also, I guess I skipped around, he's also gotten CrewSense up and running. So our new scheduling, our online live scheduling software package, he got some support from Captain Webb from Hyannis Fire, but he has put a lot of hours into getting that up and running and training all of the staff on how to use it. So we've got a much more interactive, real-time scheduling package that better tracks people in overtime and leave balances. So,
Chief, can we put a note of appreciation in his file?
Absolutely.
For all that additional work?
Absolutely.
Might as well stick on IT for right now. We've also, so we talked the last regular meeting. We had a little surprise for you. I notified you that our records management system, our fire records management system, was no longer going to work with ComFire's transition to a new package.
Right.
And if we wanted it to work, it was going to cost, I think, $6,000. And if we wanted to go to the system that ComFire had, it was going to cost us about $20,000. So came in last minute for our last meeting, and I didn't have a chance to really come up with some good solutions. But since then, we have found that ImageTrend, the software package that does our patient care reports, they've got a new and improved fire reporting system that Yarmouth Fire uses, West Barnsley uses, and I believe Mashpee Fire uses as well. And it is virtually identical to the other type of fire reports, or the one that would have cost us $20,000. And their cost is going to be $1,000 a year with, I think there was $1,000 training and switchover fee up front. So I think the total cost this year was $3,000. I think that's what it was. No, it was, I'm sorry, it's $2,000 for the $2,000 for the integration to make sure the CAD system integrates with our patient care reporting system and our fire reporting system. $1,200 was the 2 hours webinar training for us, and $1,000 annual fee. So it totals about $4,000 this year. It eliminates our need for firehouse, which costs us $3,000 a year. So it's got a net cost of $1,000 this year instead of $20,000. And going forward, it's only got a $1,000 annual maintenance cost, where firehouse is $3,000. So $1,000 more this year and $2,000 less every year going forward. So Lieutenant Clark has become our expert in image trend, primarily because it was a patient reporting system, patient care reporting system. He has jumped into the fire reporting and made sure it was up and running, made sure it was set up right, and done the training for all our staff. So in about a week period, we went from not using it all for fire report to 100% using it. We switched over July 1st, so it's been a kind of a really quick turnaround, but it seems to have worked, and we have a less expensive, better system now as a result of it. So
good to hear. Thank you.
With your permission, I'll put a letter.
And Chief, just to confirm, one of the concerns in the past, I think you said this, but one of the concerns in the past was whether it would integrate with COM from a dispatch point of view.
Yes.
No compatibility that we see?
There should not be any issues. COM hasn't made the switch yet. They were intending to switch July 1st. They have postponed their switchover. It could come at any day. I'm not sure exactly what day they're going to switch. COM also uses ImageTrend for their patient care reporting, so it has to integrate. We don't have a choice. Everybody in Cape Cod uses ImageTrend for patient care reporting, so there is no choice, but it has to integrate. So. And like I said, Lieutenant Clark's really done a lot of work to get this going in a very short period of time. So I think we should put a letter in Lieutenant Clark's fire as well, commending him for his extra efforts to
Absolutely.
Get that up and running.
Right. All we did was shake our heads. Sorry about that. Yes, I agree.
Thank you. I'm working with the treasurer and assistant treasurer on a COVID reimburse documentation for FEMA. So that's an ongoing process. Lisa Haven, the assistant treasurer, is really taking the lead on that, and she's very detailed, and I'm sure she'll get that right and get that done shortly. So we expect to get, I don't know exactly, I think somewhere in the range of $50,000 reimbursement, which will go to the general fund. It doesn't come to fire, but it will be a reimbursement for our a PPE, so our personal protective equipment. Most of that gets reimbursed at 75%, and the modified shift schedules that we came up with to keep everybody safe and keep people isolated in three different groups, most of that will get covered like 75% as well. So that'll be a big deal when that gets done. I've attached a capital plan. So this is very similar to the one I think I've distributed in the past. The only addition is it's moved out 1 year since the last time I brought it was a year older, and I've added a facilities line item, and it's really not much there. The facilities just says that we have historically in the last 30 years, it seems like every 30 years there's a significant expense required to update the station or facility. So I just started it off to throw a ball at there and say, listen, it's at this point in time, it was about $100,000 to update facilities since the last 30-year update timeline. So going forward, we can anticipate that 30 years from now, at a minimum, we're going to need at least that amount of money incremented by probably 3-4% a year. So that's all I have for facilities at this point in time. The vehicles themselves, they increment at, I don't have this formula in front of me. I think it's 3.5% per year. So there's a spreadsheet that does that, and it says it takes every vehicle, and it took a baseline purchase price based on FY20, and increments it by 3.5% per year, and they've all got a replacement schedule. So ambulances are 8 years, fire trucks are 20 years, command vehicles are 5 years, utility trucks are 8 years, the boat is a 25-year replacement, the inflatable boat was a 12-year. And these are guidelines. They obviously, as we approach the age limits, we look at available funding and condition of assets. So we had talked about putting this on the website. I don't know if people have input as to modifying this or as is, adding to the website as a reference file.
I have some thoughts around how to present this kind of data in a different way for the web, but we can, if you're open to that, we can
absolutely
take that offline. You guys don't mind.
It's a 10-year plan, yeah.
31.
The roof's a 30-year roof, so that's off the chart, too. But you're right, I should list that as well.
I think that you can put it under the facilities thing like expected lifespan of the roof, the septic system, four, that was upgraded.
Driveway.
I have.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah, our security system is almost non-existent.
But have there been security incidents?
Yes. But we've found somebody wandering through the building once in areas they shouldn't have been in.
Have there been any others?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Commissioner Ziggs, I'm kind of curious. Should we wait?
Thank you.
If I may real quick, I think is here when you get right down to it. As commissioners, our first responsibility is to the citizens of the community, but tightly coupled with that, and I agree. I don't think out here we're disagreeing with that. So I think we're in unanimous agreement on that personally.
Administration. The capital FY20 budget is almost closed out. We've got a couple encumbered bills that came in really late, but the new PO module helped out significantly in making sure we didn't have any missed bills. So it was easier to close out the year knowing exactly what commitments were made and where they all stood. So that helped. Training staff has been going, the firefighters have been going out in 268 or inflatable boat. for the last couple of days. All the shifts are going to go out and review the boat, make sure it runs really well, make sure they're familiar with the controls and operations. Firefighter McPherson and Lieutenant McNamara are working on some more fire training at 56 High Street. So I don't know if that's going to come up shortly, I think. I don't have a date on it, but they are working to put together a training program over there.
Chief, could you let us know when that date's established?
Yep. Can I let Firefighter McPherson talk about that? Does that work? So they said vent enter search, so they're going to practice simulated fires where they find a room where there could be an occupant, they vent it, they enter it, they search for occupants. The last time they borrowed some setups from Comfire that had entanglement props and small entry props and some dummies, so they'll probably hide a dummy in some of the rooms of the building next door and practice entering, getting through obstacles, and rescuing the victim to the exterior. So they're actually going to pick up a smoke machine, an artificial smoke generator, and use that to help black out and work there. So they did a great job last time they did the drill, and I have no doubt that it'll be very... Yes, it would be. I meant to video time it last time, but it was pouring out, and we didn't get a video, so I'll make sure it gets videoed. Well, there is no video tearing the inside. You're not going to see anything, but maybe we can do some video with a thermal camera and at least the exterior, showing the firefighters entering and exiting and dragging the dummies out. So. Yep. It would be. Yeah. No, I agree. Yep. Right. So it's training for myself and the deputy too. Our computers, our Microsoft Surface are linked to the air packs for the guys, so we know how much air they have, whether they're in distress, we can signal them and they can signal back to us wirelessly. And then we have the pack tracker that if a firefighter goes down and they're motionless, it sends out a signal and the tracking device will help locate where they are. So we've got a lot of technology that, you know, we have to practice on a regular basis, so we, you know, so when we do need it, we're familiar with it. So.
Sounds like a great idea.
Pro EMS report for June was attached. Personnel, we have one firefighter out with a back injury. At this point in time, he's in physical therapy. We anticipate a return towards the end of August, beginning September. We anticipate a full recovery, no long-term effects, and to get this person back. So that's good news. Bad news, we got somebody out for a couple months. The good news, they're going to be better and they're going to be back. So. And also under personnel, Matthew Judge is here. He's applied to be a call firefighter. We sent him to the drug test. He's waiting for a physical and his PAT test. He was one of our interns for this last school year. Everybody loved him. He worked his butt off every day. We had to kick him out of the station pretty much on a regular basis because he loves it there so much. His father was a full-time firefighter at Kituat and then Comfire. Ended up going on an injury disability. And his uncle is a firefighter. No, he's a deputy or chief now, right?
He's
a captain in Worcester Fire. Him and I went to Fire Academy together, too. So he wants to do this for a living. He just passed his EMT practical this week, I think, earlier in the week. And we're extremely happy to get him on as a call firefighter. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's our next full-time staff if he wants to come. work for us someday. So I asked him to come here to talk to you guys. If you guys have any questions for him, or
I saw him on your application. You're currently enrolled at college.
Yes. So I did my EMT program.
Yes.
Yes.
Could you please?
Into the what?
The paramedic.
Oh, paramedic. Oh, okay.
There's also a lifeguard here at Loop Beach for us, too.
Yes, 3 days a week at Loop Beach. Lifeguard. And by those 3 days, I hang on.
Look forward to seeing you.
He's an extremely hard worker. He's got his nose stuck in the books or in the equipment every time he's there. I think he's read the EMT book cover to cover a dozen times. I think he's one of only, four that has passed everything in his EMT class so far. Very smart kid, adult, and like I said, we're looking forward to working more with him. So, you guys gave me authorization to hire call people during this pandemic. I get the pandemic's sort of kind of still going on. Would you entertain a motion or make a motion maybe to put him on as a call firefighter pending his passing his exams and make it something official from the board? Would that be possible, you think? So we give him a physical. That's probably a couple hundred dollars. The drug test was like $50. He's got gear that's leftover gear from other full-time firefighters, so there's no real cost implications there. There's really not a whole lot of costs. He, depending on what training he's going to, whether it's sponsored or not sponsored, there could be a cost for that. But we also get him available for standby and for calls and for covering the station. So, and the biggest benefit to us is we get somebody that we get to know and know whether we want them full-time and motivate them and help them get into this career field. I think we paid them about, I don't remember in front of me, it's been a while since anybody worked calls, so I think we pay them about $15 an hour, $18 an hour when they come in for calls. So they don't get paid a lot of money. They don't do this for the pay. He would do this because he wants the training and the motive and the training from us to help get him into this field. There are state requirements. They've got to be a firefighter. They have to take state-specific physicals. He would have to take the PAT test, the state physical agility test, if he wants to get into most of the training programs, which we would put him through, and there's no cost to that. It's a state-provided service. How does it relate to call firefighters? Typically, when we're hiring new firefighters, most of our firefighters are required to be paramedics. We need two paramedics per shift. So the last couple openings we had required us to hire paramedics, yes. As an EMT, he still has the ability to contribute on an ambulance and contribute on a fire call when he gets the fire training. Right now, he doesn't have fire training. So he would need to get that certified firefighter 1-2 before he is counted or used in that capacity. The big benefit of us, like I said, this is more a career development tool to find new staff and to get people that are available for us for later on. He's not going to go on a lot of calls. Actually, he will, because he'll be hanging out in the station on his own time, waiting for the calls like he has in the past. But mostly it's a development tool to develop future staff.
Make a motion. We can make a motion that we authorize the chief to bring Matt Judge on as a call firefighter.
Right. it's essentially an at-will position. When we have calls, we put rules and regulations in place to say if we have a structure fire, come on in and help us out. If we need standby at the station, come on in, we'll pay you whatever it is, $18 an hour, something in that range. We decide on training, what we reimburse for training, what we don't. I think that's a policy decision, and whether they take training at their own time or whether they get compensated for it, that's something we don't, I think, have a current policy on, which we will need to get put in place. But in general, there's not a whole lot of commitment for us. There's not a real big financial cost to us.
Commissioner Connolly in favor?
Apparatus, the new chief scar is on order. It's about a 2-month wait time at this point in time. Manufacturers are busy. There's stuff, the parts, the lights, and controllers are on order, so it'll be at least 2 months out before that's available. And then facilities, we talked about everything's currently on hold, but I guess the chairman and I talked about possibly if we're going to go forward something. Right now, the doors literally have a significant amount of rot in most of the exterior doors, and at least it like to start going forward with figuring out what our security options are, which is going to take a little bit of time. We had a quote on a security system which was not reasonable. It was a very high number. So I guess what I'd like your authorization is to do at this point in time is just to go forward with some research and figure out what our options are, what the cost is, and what the best options are for us for a reasonable security solution for our organization.
So Chief, I would, Commissioner Clark, as expeditiously as we can with regards to the doors. There's some real concern at the station on that, as we are all aware. And if you'd like some assistance relative to the security conversation, I'd be happy to get involved and help you out with that.
Thank you. I'd like to help. That'd be great. To work on that, and I'll work with Commissioner Pisano on the security system. If we can get some good options for you guys to look at next month. And that's all I got.
And trying
funds available in Minnesota first response to the pandemic. I'm sorry to be so upset by it, but I'm not apologizing for that. Going forward, I'm hesitant to establish a precedent of living and
Commissioner Pisano, if I could make a suggestion. If there is a suggestion that there's something that we've missed, I think that's a valid question and something that we should consider. Statement one. Statement two, we have in front of us a description of a job, of a position. We have a contract in front of us to discuss this evening. I suggest we move forward with those discussions. And I also suggest in the attempt of complete transparency and give everybody the opportunity to have a comment that we post that we will have a vote on this position next meeting. So look through the contract today, look through the job description today, question it, work through it, and then ultimately have a final vote of the commissioners at the August meeting. And at that time, if something else has been found that suggests that we're not in authority, then that can be taken into consideration.
Perfectly open to that. It was my expectation that we would not be voting on a final vote on this trail contract, because what I wanted to open for our discussion and then question and then have to refer to the legal of the meeting. So my expectation was that if we come back
excellent.
So if we're agreed on that, then I would like to go forward with the discussion of that contract.
If I may, Commissioner Pisano, before we get into the contract, this is a simple thing to look at, but as I look at the description, the job description,
I think that was kind of posted in error. The job description is in the contract for the most part. That description you have was something that was just kind of a work in progress that was mistakenly put up there. So the
okay.
large font, one page.
Yes, so I can
throw it
discard
out.
This.
Yes.
Now, I did see a note in there that something had been updated in the contract. Now, I printed out earlier today.
You want the current one?
Do you have a printed copy of it?
Yes. While you're reading that, can I talk real quick? Essentially, this is the district's already paid lawyers or the district councils to come up with a chief's contract. Essentially, this is the chief's contract with modifications to make it more applicable to the deputy's position. So I figured the legal counsel had already prepared something that was for a very similar job, so that was a good starting base point for us. Absolutely. Yep.
Yes.
In the case 4072 Falcon Road, with all due respect to Commissioner Connolly, I think until it can be determined whether the fire commissioners have the authority to go ahead with that position, then I don't think it's appropriate that the business come to the floor at this point, and I would request that we use an abundance of caution before moving forward with something that still remains to be investigated. Thank you. Thank you.
Ability, even open to discuss things very easily.
assisting. There's probably a couple of those. Not exactly. Sorry, there. My section what? Correct. It doesn't include the section where I waive benefits for health insurance, but his vacation allowance is different than mine. I believe he gets 6 weeks of vacation now, existing as a lieutenant with the existing union contract, so I didn't think it was fair to have him lose vacation time to get promoted. So I get 5 weeks of vacation, he's in there at 6 weeks of vacation. That's the proposal. It actually is less hours than he's getting now, but you can convert the firefighter's 42-hour a week to the office, to the admin's 40-hour a week, and that becomes 6 weeks. So
I didn't see it.
Right now, okay. There should be a section called vacation in there.
Oh, I was looking for an
leave. Leave.
Right now, he gets 288 hours of vacation time. Under this proposal, he gets 240 hours, so 40 hours less vacation time. But he gets 6 weeks rather than the 5 weeks that I get. Yeah, we can talk about that next if you want. So.
Chief, so we're limiting a 10-day carryover? So that's...
Yes.
Now, I raised a question with the chief about 10.4. We're 10.3 and 10.4 in terms of discipline or discharge.
I have no idea why. The lawyers must have put that in there for a reason. I have no idea why. I agree.
Possibility of termination
So if I...
No. No, I don't. I think it's a legal term that's got a legal definition that's considered a general definition. It's not. It talks about just cause in the union contract too, but there's no definition of just cause, I don't believe.
So, if I may, independent of the just cause, because that is a legal term, as I understand it, independent of that, if the deputy is not reappointed, leave the rest of it out, the district is paying a year's salary?
No, if his contract, at the end of his three-year contract, if he's not reappointed, then he no longer has a job, and you don't pay him anything. Same with me. If they're in my contract, if you guys don't reappoint me, then... hit the road. Resignation just... it says you have to give 30 days notice if you resign, but you don't get any payment, correct? No, there is no severance package or payment for resigning. If there was a payment for a year for resignation, you know, I might be writing something right now. No, I didn't say that, did I? Sorry.
I'll reread that. That's...
So what would you like it to say? I can discuss it with the legal. And
I think it probably should be discussed with legal. Whatever legal
okay.
comes back with there would be fine.
All right.
From my perspective.
Okay.
As long as we're not paying that. Can I jump back a little bit to leave?
Yeah.
Quick question on leave. Carrying days, payout on sick days may be accrued up to 220 days. At the time of retirement, deputy may have compensated 25%. So this is outside of a union position. We didn't do this other outside of a union position jobs. Do you have that in your contract? Did I miss that?
Do I have what? Sorry.
Do you get paid for unused?
It's the same as that one. I honestly don't know. Is it in excess of a certain amount or is it a percentage?
It's up to 25%.
So I get 25% of, it's not in excess of a certain number, it's all sick days, right?
Right, so I
think
guess
that's what it is. I get paid for 25%.
I may have missed that in yours, in all fairness, right? Or maybe the point is, I'm wondering why we're allowing that to be carried. Why we're allowing sick time to be carried as somebody leaves.
What, I'm sorry?
If somebody... At retirement, the deputy may be compensated 25% of the 220 days.
Up to 220 days, yes.
25% of the 220 days.
Right.
So why is that included in here?
There's no way the deputy would ever get to 220 days. It would never happen. It's not a possibility. He's not going to live that long. None of us are. Realistically, if he didn't use any sick time between now and the 3 years is up, he's looking at, 15 times 3 is 30, 45, right? 45 plus another.
So I guess...
he could probably max out at 65 days. That's the most he's going to have in 3 years, probably.
Right. This isn't a conversation that's about the specific deputy that's the
right.
conversation's about. This is two conversations. One, a precedent, and set,
yep.
right? And the other is sick time paid out is carried in the union contract, correct?
Union carries their sick time, yes.
That's absolutely correct. We're not in a union contract in this conversation.
Correct. You guys have the choice of whether you let us carry or don't let us carry. It's up to
exactly
you.
The point. So that's 100%. What I'm asking. I'm not sure that that's a logical thing for us as a district to do. We had the same conversation, similar conversation, on the administrative side of the house, when we had an administrative
yes.
employee, and I had the same position on that conversation as well. that I don't think we should be allowing that to be carried in that space. So I'm asking it, throwing it out on the table if there's any conversation or opinion.
My opinion is that if, say, the deputy were to get some illness that he needed to be out more than 10 days, and he hadn't been out the year before, that there should be some allowance to use that, so, and still get a paycheck. I think there's some state law issues that we came up with for the last time we talked about this too, and I honestly can't remember what they are. Did we figure, do you remember that, Rick? Is there a state law that says we have to be able to accumulate?
I have the issue with the payout, is what I have the issue.
Yeah.
Carrying some days, I don't have a real issue with personally.
Yeah.
Right? From year to year, I have an issue with the payout.
Okay.
As I did previously.
I honestly, it's up to you. You can take it out of my contract next time. I really don't care about it, so it doesn't matter either way.
So perhaps what we can look at there is, and I, we can look at what the resolution was on the other administration.
There was no payout.
Right, but there was some other verbiage put in there, Chief, is what I'm saying.
There was some verbiage that I think that we had to allow a carryover, but there was no payout for the other administrative position, office manager. We decided, you guys decided, you did not want that, and it did not end up in a agreement, in a work job description.
That's exactly what.
I don't think you're talking a large amount of money. If it was, I know you're talking principal, but you're talking maybe getting paid for 15 days.
It's. Is here you're saying?
Yes. Time of retirement initiation shall be compensated 25% of the number of
accumulated for 6 months. Something I missed previously. Okay.
Are you talking a max payout of retirement of about $6,000? $6,600, I think, for the deputy's position, I think we're looking at. Well, I guess it could go up by, what is it, 2.5% per year, but less than $10,000 payout, I think, is max.
Oh, okay. Well,
not a big number.
So 25% of 220 is how many? How many days?
25% of how many?
200.
Well, that's a much bigger number. That's a much bigger number. But like I said, the in this specific instance, the current position, the current acting deputy could amass a total of, I think, a max out of 60 days max. There is no way to get more than that over a three-year period. So 60 days, I'm in trouble with this mask on. So 60 days times a quarter, that's 15 days, and there are how many work days in a 52 times 5, 260, so what did I say, 15 divided by 0.057 times the annual salary of 115, that comes to $6,634.
Maximum payout. I appreciate
it. You know, it could go up a few percent. If he does well enough to get a cost of living increase over the next 2 years, it could be up a little higher, but yeah, in that range.
Okay.
And I'm probably similar type of range.
And that changes my concern, so I appreciate that.
Okay.
Info. Correct.
If you hire a really young deputy, it could be a much bigger number, but we're old, so that's not going to apply to us.
Yeah, age isn't a factor here, but it's a consideration. Okay. The other question, Ed, 13.0 performance submitted to the chief, fire chief. Underperformance, 13.1. Oh, there's only one there. No reference to anything being submitted to the commissioners on the deputy chief's performance.
Would you like that to be submitted to the commissioners too?
I would think personally, yes.
Yeah. I think that's appropriate.
Any other questions?
about the process of property and expenditures within a fire district. To best of my knowledge, it was not specific to the garage door. You were asking me about the general structure.
I would like to be specific because I did get a copy of the DOR ruling that the treasurer gave me. And it was very clear to me after reading that DOR that the garage door would not be appropriate. That's something I think I should have written already. And if not, I will send it to you tonight with my update on the bylaw.
Really?
And then my final concern is I've known that since you were away, and no problem with being called in is what the purpose of having called firefighters. I don't understand how the chief made the decision to already get the drug tested and spend funds before bringing this to you. I would like to make sure that no funds for education are spent without coming to the board. Like, I don't want us just letting them go to their next school and not picking up the cost and go through the stuff that we need, going to firefighter one, firefighter two. Like, all those expenses should be discussed at the meeting. That would be my request. Thank you.
Which things? Yeah, we paid for the drug test. Yep. $85, I think.
I will be just off the top of my head, my first response. We authorize an internship program in court to foster involvement, and we find the experiment with resuscitating our call program very much the same thing. The expenses that have been made to date don't amount to a significant
amount. Oh, and I'm not upset, but I just want to make sure we go forward. The paramedic program would be thousands of dollars.
Well, that already has to come to us before any decision can be made at that level.
Okay. I just know there was a history of a person being sent to the EMD school that was managed to stuff at the board, so I want to make sure we don't make that same mistake again. Thank you. That's all.
I speak for the EMD
school. I don't need to go. Another person.
Oh, okay.
No mistakes were made. No mistakes were made. The author, the expenditures that were made for bringing call firefighter judge on board were not mistakes. They were done on purpose. They were not mistakes. They didn't violate any DOR rule. You guys gave me authorization to hire call firefighters, which is exactly what I did. I am not. You guys don't want me to come here to ask. Sorry. Okay. You don't want me to come here to ask you for every pencil and paper that is purchased. You have made it very clear that if it's a significant expenditure that I come and bring it to you, which I do. So, I mean, otherwise, that's why you hire me and pay me to be conscientious with the department funds, which is what we are. We have been very conscientious with the funds. We've renovated a kitchen for $15,000. We will continue to be very frugal with the funds and use them as if they were our own. They're important, and we take that very seriously. No, there were no mistakes made. The garage doors weren't mistakes, and the drug test and the physical was not a mistake either.
Thank you.